Good evening, it is 5 p.m. on Tuesday, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. In this episode, we cover the Isabel Bader Centre's 10th anniversary season launch, the Kingston Chamber of Commerce's Q1 City Council report card release, recapping all of Council's business-related decisions so far in 2024, messages directly from the City of Kingston, and more. The Kingston Chamber of Commerce has released their first City Council report card of 2024, and for the first time, all of Council's business-related decisions were given the green stamp of approval. The Chamber of Commerce began releasing these quarterly reports in 2023 to hold the city accountable to the local business community. While Council has consistently had an overall positive rating, all six of last quarter's decisions were marked green, described in the report as being aligned with the priorities of the business community. Decisions made this term included Council's vote to move forward with the development of a new conference center, endorsing the Family Physician and Primary Care Recruitment Plan, and approving the construction of a new aquatic center. There was only one cautionary note left on the city's proposed patio bylaw changes. In March of 2023, the city put into action controversial patio bylaws, which included new standards for fencing, restricting use of branding on patio umbrellas, minimum operating requirements, and various other stipulations. After discussions between the city and patio operators, amendments and exemptions were made to address their concerns. While overall satisfied with the changes, the one element still posing a concern and the reason for the note is that temporary exemptions only apply to current owners and are not transferable if they were to sell the business. In a release, the Chamber states, quote, "This alignment is a positive indication of how advocacy can continue to move the needle forward for our business community," end quote. In a message from the City of Kingston, young leaders encouraged to step into the mayor's shoes with new Mayor for a Day program. Imagine your child stepping into the mayor's shoes for an entire day. Grade 5 students in Kingston are encouraged to apply for the city's first annual Mayor for a Day program this spring. Mayor for a Day is a unique and exciting opportunity for local youth from around the city to learn more about municipal politics and civic issues. One grade 5 student will be invited to spend a day with Mayor Brian Patterson to learn more about how local government works in Kingston. The winning student can expect to take a tour of City Hall, attend a meeting and an event, take the mayor's seat in council chambers, and enjoy lunch, all with Mayor Patterson. The day's schedule will be designed around the student's interests related to local government. Mayor Patterson states, quote, "I'm very excited to be launching this new program for youth in our community. Young minds bring incredible curiosity to how and why we do our work as elected officials. I'm looking forward to showing them the important work we do with city staff, community groups, committees, and community members to make Kingston an even greater city." How to apply? Visit Get Involved Kingston to learn more and apply by Wednesday, June 5th at 4 p.m. In the short application form, interested students are asked to answer the following questions in a video or written responses. Why do you want to be mayor for a day? What would be your first action as mayor? What would you like to learn about the city of Kingston? Where would you like to visit during Mayor for a Day? What is your favorite thing about living in Kingston? Students may also handwrite their application and submit it at City Hall Front Desk, Kingston East Community Center, Rideau Heights Community Center, Artillery Park Aquatic Center, or in Vista Center. In another message from the city, backyard composter sale is back while supplies last. Why buy compost when you can make your own? The City of Kingston's Backyard Composter Sale is here once again, where residents can purchase a composter for a discounted price of $30 during the month of May while supplies last. To take advantage of this opportunity, residents can visit Kingston Area Recycling Center at 196 Lappins Lane. KARC is open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday and 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday. Proof of residency is required for this promotion, and there is a limit of one composter per household. Adam Mueller, supervisor for solid waste, states, quote, "Composting in your backyard is a great way to capture the nutrients in organic waste for use in your garden or on your lawn," end quote. It costs around $100 a ton for the city to process organic waste collected in the green bin. So backyard composting not only saves municipal dollars, but also the greenhouse gas emissions related to the collection vehicles. There are several items like bones, dairy products, fats, and oils that can go in the green bin, but should not go in your backyard composter. For more details, you can visit cityofkingston.ca/greenbin. Composters will return to their standard price of $54 on June 1st, or when 100 composters have been sold, whichever comes first. KFLNA Public Health is issuing an alert to warn residents about a recent rise in drug-involved poisonings within the KFLNA region. Consumption and Treatment Services in Kingston is reporting a 30% increase in apparent drug poisoning since April 27, 2024. Similar observations are being noted by other community partners who provide programs and services to people who use drugs. While local data about the composition of the unregulated drug supply is not available, other Ontario jurisdictions continue to report the presence of a variety of high-potency opioids, as well as tranquilizers, in the unregulated supply. These observations highlight the continued unpredictability and toxicity of the unregulated drug supply in our communities. It is vital that people do not use drugs alone, and 911 is called immediately for emergency medical care when drug poisoning is suspected. Naloxone should be given anytime drug poisoning is suspected. While naloxone will not reverse the effects of other kinds of drugs or contaminants, it will help reverse the effects of any opioids present. In addition to informing key partners, including the public, promoting access to naloxone kits and other harm reduction measures, and continuing work on preventing drug-related harms, KFLNA Public Health is urging people to do the following. Avoid using alone. If you use alone, tell someone before you use and have a safety plan that includes having someone check in with you. Alternative options may include using with a friend or family member present or their virtual. Staggering use if both are using drugs. Using a supervised consumption service in person at Consumption and Treatment Services at 661 Montreal Street in Kingston, or virtually by calling the National Overdose Response Service at 1-888-688-NORS 6677. Avoid using more than one drug at a time, including alcohol. Go slow. The quality of unregulated drugs is unpredictable. Get a free naloxone kit and training. Always carry it with you. Consider carrying multiple doses of naloxone. Call 911 for emergency medical treatment immediately if drug poisoning is suspected. If you have a friend or family member who uses drugs, share the above safety information with them and get a free naloxone kit and training. For more information on harm reduction, visit the KFLNA Public Health website. In a message from the Downtown Kingston BIA, two outstanding partnerships garner awards for the Downtown Kingston BIA. The Downtown Kingston Business Improvement Area is thrilled to share the news of its impressive achievements at the 2024 Ontario Business Improvement Area Association Awards, held on Monday, April 29th. The accolades came as a result of two remarkable partnerships, demonstrating Downtown Kingston's BIA's commitment to fostering strong community connections and driving success. Downtown Kingston BIA took home two esteemed awards: Award of Excellence, Northern Lights Interactive Light and Sound Experience. A partnership with local Indigenous community captivated audience through Indigenous story, art, and language, and contributed to the cultural vibrancy of the downtown core. Award of Excellence, Downtown Kingston Advent Calendar. A partnership with local member businesses fostered a sense of community and enhanced visitor experiences during holiday season. OBIAA's 2024 Awards Committee considered submissions from BIAs across Ontario, with winners selected based on their ability to meet the judging criteria under the pillars of downtown revitalization, including advocacy and governance, business retention, recruitment and expansion, special events, marketing, communications, and streetscaping and public realm improvements. Executive Director of the Downtown Kingston BIA, Mary Jo Currier, expressed gratitude for the recognition and thanked the BIA's partners, businesses, and community members for their unwavering support in bringing these projects to life. She states, quote, "These awards are a testament to our collective efforts in enhancing Downtown Kingston's vitality and charm. We will continue to strive for excellence in all our initiatives and contribute to the overall success of our beloved city," end quote. In another message from the city, City of Kingston announces year full of events. The City of Kingston has been working tirelessly to prepare special events for 2024. They're kicking it off with Spring into Summer, presented by Utilities Kingston on May 18th. and then bringing you events throughout 2024 with their last event of the year, K-Town Countdown, on December 31st. You can find events and information in just one click by visiting their feature events page for all the events that the city organizes with up-to-date information. Experience Kingston's diverse arts and cuisine at Intercultural Arts Fest presented by Empire Life. Dance to music at Rock in the Square this July, or walk on the runway and discover vehicles used around the city at Wheels on the Runway. Are you ready to turn up the heat and dive headfirst into summer? That's right, folks. It's time to shake off those winter blues and get ready to spring into summer at an epic community event on May 18th. Admission is free. Spring into Summer, presented by Utilities Kingston, starts at 1 p.m. at Lake Ontario Park and finishes with fireworks at 9:30 p.m. Visit the event page for more details. Other events in the works for 2024 include Canada Day, Emancipation Day, Rock in the Square, Kingston Sheepdog Trials Festival, Summer's End Doggy Dip, Wheels on the Runway presented by Hardington Equipment, Intercultural Arts Fest sponsored by Empire Life, National Truth and Reconciliation Day, Mayor's Arts Awards, Remembrance Day, and K-Town Countdown. Check the feature events page often for details. Sponsorships are still available. City of Kingston special events welcome thousands of residents and visitors to their public spaces, and corporate support helps to keep these events accessible to all. These events can showcase businesses and provide a unique way to reach target audiences. View a complete list of special event sponsorship opportunities on their website. Calling all volunteers. Do you or someone you know love to volunteer? Are you a high school student looking for volunteer hours? We are always looking for volunteers at our events. If you are interested, send a message to their special events team at specialeventsoffice@cityofkingston.ca. Own a food truck in Kingston? Most of their events feature food vendors and they love having choices. If you're interested in participating as a food vendor at one of their events, please contact the City's Special Events Office for more details at specialeventsoffice@cityofkingston.ca. Before we get into more local news, I'm going to turn to our weather and traffic report for this evening. For your weather report this evening, tonight we're expecting cloudy skies with a 60% chance of drizzle or showers. We'll have fog patches developing late this evening. We have a low of 7 degrees. Looking forward to tomorrow, the 1st of May, we'll have cloudy skies with fog patches dissipating in the morning. We have a high 15 degrees and a UV index of 5 or moderate. Tomorrow night, we're expecting cloudy periods with a 40% chance of showers and a low of 8 degrees. On Thursday, the 2nd of May, we're expecting sunny skies and a high of 21. For the night, we'll have clear skies and a low of 7. We're keeping those high temperatures on Friday with a mix of sun and cloud and a high of 20 degrees. For the night, we'll have cloudy skies with a 30% chance of showers and a low of 10 degrees. That rain will be sticking around into the beginning of the weekend, starting off on Saturday with cloudy skies and a 30% chance of showers and a high of 19 degrees. The night will be cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and a low of 10 degrees. Finally, on Sunday, we're just expecting cloudy skies with a high of 18 and cloudy periods in the evening with a 40% chance of showers and a low of 10. Now for your CFRC weekly traffic report for April 26th to May 2nd. PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. Road closures to look out for. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th is closed until May 31st for the buried infrastructure replacement. Road will be open to local traffic. King Street, Place d'Armes to north end of King is closed until September 30th for the construction of new Storm Inn roadbed. Road will be open to local traffic. 7th Avenue, Alfred to Hillcrest is closed until May 4th for sanitary sewer system replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. Tacoma Crescent, Hudson to Lincoln is closed until May 1st at 5 p.m. for the installation of a sewer lateral. University Avenue, Union to Earl is closed until May 29th for the Queens JDUC project. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is underway. The work will take place throughout all levels of the building and will include efforts such as routine structural maintenance, repainting, replacement of waterproofing materials, and upgrades to the building's mechanical and electrical systems. The work is planned to be in the first week of February 2024 and conclude in late December 2024. The work will be completed in phases to allow the building to remain open to public parking for the duration of the project. It is anticipated that no more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. The Chown Memorial Garage will be experiencing two full closures in the coming weeks to accommodate cleaning of the garage. If you require parking during this time, Hanson Memorial Garage is located at 105 Brock Street and should have ample space during these times. May 7th at 6 p.m. to May 8th at 6 a.m. Entry will be restricted after 3 p.m. on May 7th, but vehicles in the lot will be permitted to leave, payments still required to exit. In other delays, Bay Ridge Drive, Woodbine to Cataract Way Woods expect delays until April 30th, while contractors are completing construction restoration work in that area. Princess Street, Bay Ridge to Collins Bay expect delays until April 30th, while contractors are completing construction restoration work in that area. Queen Street, Montreal Street to Sydenham expect an eastbound lane closure until May 15th. Detours will be in place for the duration of the lane closure. Now back to more local news. On Wednesday night, the Isabel Bader Center for the Performing Arts hosted a launch event announcing the lineup for their 10th anniversary season. Director Gordon E. Smith took the stage in the Jennifer Velva Bernstein Performance Hall to present what the 2024-25 season holds. This anniversary season is curated around the theme of inspiration and alliances.
The season has been curated around the theme of inspiration and alliances, to celebrate inspirational retrospectives from the past 10 years and to explore perspectives for future programming.
The Isabel will be hosting 5 series throughout the year: the Virtuosi Soloist Series, the Ensemble Series, the Spotlight Series, the Friday Night Series, and the Children's Series. The season will be welcoming back some favorites, first-time guests, and debuting some new acts. September 20th, 2024 will mark 10 years since the day the Isabel opened its doors to the public. In celebration, they will be welcoming back Canadian Indigenous artist Jeremy Dutcher with a new band and new music. Smith also announced the renaming of the Karen Hitchcock Rehearsal Hall, now known as the Karen Hitchcock Recital Hall.
Just a little context here. As many of you will know, one of the jewels of the Isabel is what has been known as the rehearsal hall. In addition to being a valued rehearsal space, the rehearsal hall has become increasingly recognized as a wonderful performance space. Reflecting this shift to a dual purpose, I'm really pleased to share with you that the rehearsal hall has been renamed to the Karen Hitchcock Recital Hall.
In this spirit, the space will make its debut as the Recital Hall with the Friday Night Series starting in 2025, which will feature local and community artists working in folk, indie, and pop musical idioms. The lineup includes Tiny Horse, Cassador, Alex Mundy, and Chris Brown. This is sure to be an eventful season celebrating 10 years of the Isabel.
As you can see, this is a bold and ambitious 10th season program, and your support in whatever form it takes is incredibly important to making it a success. So thank you so much.
In a message from the City of Kingston, Slush Puppy Place announces sound system upgrades. Kingston Frontenacs fans are in for a treat. Slush Puppy Place is upgrading its audio system this summer. To improve sound clarity and balance throughout the arena, the City of Kingston has hired Branch Audiovisual, an experienced AV solutions company, to replace all speakers, amplifiers, and wiring. The work will take place in July to take advantage of the Frontenacs off-season period when the ice is out of the arena. We're excited to see and hear what this new sound system can do. A well-functioning sound system is an integral part of the experience during hockey games and is essential for sharing safety information in the event of an emergency, says Amy Elgersma, Director of Recreation and Leisure Services. She concludes, once installed, ticket holders will be able to enjoy game announcements and music loud and clear from any seat in the arena. Following a competitive process, Branch AV was selected to complete this project. Branch AV is led by experienced audiovisual technology professionals who manage projects all over Ontario, including previous renovations at Scotiabank Arena and the CN Tower in Toronto. In a release from South Frontenac Township, time is now to take action to be prepared for emergencies. If you had to evacuate your home due to wildfires or there was a tornado warning and you had to take shelter, would you know what to do, where to go, and what to take with you? May 5th to 11th, 2024 is Emergency Preparedness Week, and South Frontenac Township is urging residents to think about these scenarios, take action, and be prepared. During the month of May, the township will be sharing information and resources on its website and social media channels to help residents prepare for severe weather, wildfires, and extreme heat. Del Blakeney, Director of Emergency Services and Fire Chief for South Frontenac, states, quote, "The time is now to take action on emergency preparedness. With the impact of climate change and severe weather, it's no longer a case of if, but when an emergency will occur. While the township has an emergency response plan, the reality is it could be days for emergency officials to reach residents. So individuals and families need to have a plan, make a kit, and connect with neighbors to build a strong, resilient community," end quote. Individuals and families can be prepared by having a plan and emergency kit. Knowing what to do before, during, and after storms, and how to protect their home and property from wildfires. Community groups, lake associations, and neighborhood groups can be prepared by getting organized, developing an inventory of items they may need in an emergency, like chainsaws, generators, and identifying people who are vulnerable that may need help. Blakeney states, quote, "We're very lucky that South Frontenac is a very caring, connected community whose first response is always to help others. But individuals and groups could and should be doing more to prepare for risks like wildfires, severe weather, and storms," end quote. Residents can meet and talk to emergency personnel at the popular Touch the Truck event during Emergency Preparedness Week on Wednesday, May 8th, from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Point Park in Sydenham. For more information on emergency preparedness and to access resources, you can visit southfrontenac.net/beprepared. Spring into baby season at Sandy Pines Wildlife Center. Sandy Pines is delighted to invite the community to a wildlife baby shower and open house on Sunday, May 12th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. For this day only, visitors can tour the main building to see current patients in care as part of an annual fundraiser to support the rehabilitation of local wildlife. Leah Birmingham, medical director at Sandy Pines Wildlife Center, states, quote, "Not only does the baby shower event help us raise desperately needed money, it also allows us to educate our community. Attendees get to see the work we do and how we manage to care for thousands of wild animals every year. They see how passionate our team is and the complexity that goes into the care we provide wildlife," end quote. This complexity of care is costly, and Sandy Pines Wildlife Center relies on community generosity to have enough food, medicine, enrichment, and trained staff for the thousands of patients treated annually. To support this need, the baby shower provides many opportunities to contribute, such as bidding on a silent auction item, making a purchase from the gift shop or an on-site vendor, or by making a direct donation. The event also offers a variety of family-friendly activities, including live music, a scavenger hunt, face painting, dress up like a wildlife vet, and more. Sue Meach, director of Sandy Pines Wildlife Center, states, quote, "The baby shower is our biggest fundraiser of the year, so we are inviting everyone to join us for barbecue and day of fun activities for kids of all ages," end quote. Mark your calendars for this heartwarming event on Sunday, May 12th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Sandy Pines Wildlife Center. That's 8749 County Road 2, Napanee, Ontario. Admission is free. For more information, you can visit their Facebook page at Sandy Pines Wildlife Center or call 613-354-0264. In a statement from the City of Kingston and Kingston Police continue efforts to address daytime camping at Bell Park. The city has been working with Kingston Police to encourage compliance with the daytime camping ban under the city's Parks Use Bylaw, as directed by Kingston City Council to address health and safety challenges posed by the encampment at Bell Park. Support for those at encampments. City staff have and will continue to take steps to support people currently residing in encampments, as well as neighbors who live nearby, while at the same time trying to enforce the daytime camping ban at parks, including Bell Park. This support has included advanced communication and conversations with people in the encampment on the details of the daytime camping ban and options for daytime support services, shelters, transportation, and storage opportunities, both on-site and off, as well as providing individual bins to hold people's belongings. Enforcement of the bylaw and daytime camping in public parks. The city has and will continue to work with multiple partners, including the Kingston Police, to encourage compliance with the prohibition of daytime camping from the people currently residing in Bell Park. Kingston Police will continue to support the city with accessing Bell Park to conduct their city activities. and to conduct enforcement activities in all other city parks. The city remains dedicated to its ongoing efforts with multiple community partners to find safe, supportive housing for people experiencing homelessness. The encampment at Bell Park impacts many members of the community, and the city is committed to working with Kingston Police to find ways of addressing ongoing health and safety concerns at this encampment. Once again, that was the latest statement from the City of Kingston regarding the Bell Park encampment. That is all things current in Kingston for this evening. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. To listen on the go and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.